Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's go get it!
The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman. We're joined on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline by Michael Cohen. He's with The Athletic. You can find his work on Twitter, Michael_Cohen13. Packers amongst all this last night. We've been talking Brewers and Packers throughout the morning, Michael. So I had the Brewers on the big TV. I had the Packers on the side screen. And so some of these questions are going to be coming at you as a guy who had one eye on the game. And what I was seeing was a team that I don't know if they took the Niners lightly. I don't know if maybe they're just a worse team than we thought. We'll break down some of the stuff, but why was a game, like grand scheme of things, why was a game that we both thought would be kind of an easy one? Why did it take for a last second field goal after a bailout penalty on a fourth down, fourth quarter drive for the Packers to win this football game at home? What happened last night?
I think one of the biggest reasons is they couldn't stop the run. I mean, San Francisco finished with 174 yards rushing and, you know, a ridiculous yards per carry average. They were rotating different guys in there between, you know, Breida was picking up yards in chunks, and then Mostert was just, you know, unreal for a guy that basically Kyle Shanahan said during the week has really only played special teams for them and been a kick returner. And then all of a sudden, this is a guy that's making big time, you know, runs where he's breaking tackles and getting to the edge. And one of the themes that I saw in terms of not being able to stop the run was it seemed as if the Packers either didn't anticipate or just really underestimated the speed of those two guys. Breida and Mostert are burners. They're guys that want to get to the edge and they want to get in space. And there were a lot of times where on those pitches or, you know, toss plays toward the outside where it looked like some of the Packers defenders were actually in good position if you advanced through the play, you know, frame by frame. But then all of a sudden, once those guys got up to speed, they were able to just turn the corner on the Packers and pick up yardages of 7, 8, 9 instead of 2, 3, 4, and 5. So I think the biggest reason was that they couldn't stop the run, allowing 174 yards on the ground to a team that's playing with backup tailbacks is just not good.
I also thought, Michael, just again, with the eye going and the, you know, the two eyes on the main screen and then my third eye just tilting over and watching the Packers, it seemed like every time that I would turn on or look at this game, the pass rush for the Niners seemed to get to the Packers' offensive line. And I know they changed things around a little bit in the second half, but Rodgers constantly under pressure. Was it a breakdown on the offensive line? Is he holding onto the ball too much again, or what was happening there?
Well, there were definitely times when Rodgers held on to the ball too long. You know, I was going through some of the tape this morning, and, you know, the sacks that the Packers gave up, a lot of them were 4+ seconds in terms of how long Rodgers held the ball. So that, to me, remains an issue. But I just think the 49ers have a pretty good defensive front. I think they have a pretty, pretty good front seven. And all you have to do is go back to, I can't remember if it was week one or week two when they played the Vikings. It was a national television game. I think it was a Fox game maybe in week one. And, you know, you just had to watch what DeForest Buckner did. You had to watch what some of these other interior pieces were doing, Cassius Marsh off the edge. I mean, they were really, really causing problems. Now, the Vikings don't have a great offensive line, but as we've seen so far this season from the Packers, they've had a lot of protection issues at the guard spots, left guard and right guard. So I just think it was a combination of a few examples, not a lot, but a few, when Rodgers was holding the ball too long. But more importantly, I think the 49ers just have a pretty good front seven.
I'll ask a dumb question, but maybe it's not. This is a question a lot of people have. You see that final drive, Ty Montgomery rips off about 20 yards, so they have a chance. They go quicker. Aaron Rodgers looks as good as he does all game. Why can't they look like that in the other 3.5 quarters, the way they looked at the end?
because defenses change as the game goes on. And that's the one thing that I don't think people understand when they suggest, well, why can't they just do this? Why can't they just do that? Look at what happened with some of the games where the Packers were down by a lot and clawed their way back this season. I mean, Washington's defense in the second half was soft prevent defense over and over and over again. You know, in the Lions game when the Packers again had to try and claw their way back, a lot of soft zone prevent defense over and over and over again. And I think, you know, the 49ers started to do some of that in the back half of their defense as this game went on. And, you know, my former colleague Bob McGinn says it best, that this is just the pattern of the modern NFL. One team tends to get up by, you know, 10 or 12 or more, and then the second team claws its way back in the second half, picking up garbage yards and garbage yards and garbage yards, because the defenses change the way that they play philosophically in the second half. And again, that's what I think you saw. So why can't the Packers do it from the beginning of the game? Because they're not facing the type of coverages that they are later in the game. They're not getting soft zones. They're not getting big cushions. They're not getting safeties that are desperate to avoid giving up a deep play, so they drop 25 yards behind the line of scrimmage. It's just unreasonable to think that you can put up that type of production like they've been getting in garbage time situations against defenses in the first and second quarter when, you know, the schematic elements of the game are still at their sharpest from whatever those teams were planning during the week.
Michael Cohen joining us here on The Fan. 33-30, the final Packers last-second kick from Mason Crosby, who has a nice night of redemption there. I did notice, Michael, that, and I don't know if it was more than just these couple of plays, but the touchdown to Ty Montgomery, there was almost like a diamond shape with four guys out on the left side. They had a play that it looked like they tried to run a reverse where, who was it? One of the guys ran into a lineman, and then Devontae, it looks like, was going to try to get the ball. But at least I saw Mike McCarthy in advance of these games against the Rams and the Patriots, teams that we've talked about with you that are very creative. I thought I saw Mike McCarthy try to do at least a little more. Outside of those plays, is he trying to mix things up a little bit, or was it just those isolated plays?
No, I think it was a very innovative game plan relative to what we've seen lately. You know, that diamond formation that you mentioned, other teams have run that as well, and this is a copycat league, so obviously the Packers saw something that they liked and they tried to implement it and put their own little wrinkle on it. I believe actually the Vikings have run that diamond formation, if I remember correctly. And so then you saw that sort of double reverse kind of thing. And actually, I just watched that play a few minutes ago on my laptop, and I actually think that Devontae Adams is designed to throw that ball. I don't think it's supposed to be a double reverse where Adams runs with it, because if you take a look at it again, Aaron Jones goes beelining down the sideline and continues to look back at Adams and almost seems as if he's going to put his hand up ready for a pass, and there was protection walled off for Adams to have an avenue to throw it. So I actually think it was going to be one of those plays where Montgomery tosses it to Devontae Adams and Devontae Adams looks deep downfield. You know, again, all variations of that Philly special that the Eagles ran in the Super Bowl with such great effect. So it's a copycat league. You're seeing some of these things be added to the playbook now. And if in the long run this trend of innovation from Mike McCarthy continues, or at least attempted innovation continues, then perhaps the slower start to the season could be viewed as, you know, a necessary evil that sort of snapped the coaches back to reality and made them realize that they do need to be more creative. They do need to look outside the box. And certainly those two plays that you identified were great examples of that.
No Cobb or Allison last night, but still three guys go over 100 yards receiving. Devontae 10 for 132 and two scores. Jimmy Graham had a long one of 54. He goes 5 for 104. And then Valdez Scantling, all the rookies sort of involved at least a little bit. But am I sensing that Rodgers is maybe the most comfortable with Valdez Scantling, or is that just a matter of circumstance?
Well, I think that's the guy that's played more snaps than any of the other two rookies. So I think that that would just be natural that Rodgers has more, you know, just more trust and more, you know, confidence that Valdez Scantling is going to be where he needs to be. Plus, you know, the fact that he's been in the lineup longer means he's gotten more reps in practice, not just snaps in games. So I do think it's a little bit of a product of circumstance, but certainly also a credit to Valdez Scantling for, you know, taking that step and striding in front of the other two rookies on the depth chart in order to, you know, put himself in position to have that opportunity with Rodgers.
Rodgers after the game last night.
I don't know if it was a season-saving win for us, but it definitely was an important one, especially with the prognosticating that'll go on about the type opponent we have coming up the next few weeks, and obviously them being road games, this was an important game for us. I'd never like to use the term must win, but it was an important one.
I mean, it seemed like if they were going to lose this game going into a bye week, and again, they lost it. They lost on the road to Washington and Detroit, two teams that had a home game before the bye week, you know, get the victory. You lose this game against the Niners going into a bye week. I don't know if, like, heads would have rolled or changes would have been made, but I just, for a guy who's already sort of not, you know, his future with Mike McCarthy, he's kind of a hot seat situation. Any way that they would have made any changes, do you think, if they lost that game, is what I'm trying to say?
No, I don't think they would have made any changes. I do think that you could make an argument. Not sure I would agree with it. I haven't really put too much time into it. But you can make an argument that had they lost last night's game, that their season would, in effect, have been over. Because you're talking about having to play road games at Los Angeles, at New England, at Seattle, at Minnesota, at Chicago. I mean, I'm not saying that the Packers would lose all five of those. They probably won't lose all five of those, but they certainly could. And if they were had three losses and then potential to lose five more games, not to mention if they have a slip-up against anybody else at home, I mean, the Dolphins look like a pretty good team. They've already lost to the Lions. They've got to play them again. They would be in a situation where if they had lost last night and then finished the season with seven losses, that actually probably would have been a good result relative to, you know, where they stood right now. So I think it was an absolutely huge game for the Packers, one that they needed to win. And even though Rodgers won't say it was a season-saving win, he pretty much said everything else but it was a season-saving win. And I think he knows that this was a significant, significant, you know, come-from-behind victory for them relative to keeping playoff hopes alive, even though, you know, we're only about, what, a little over a third of the way through the season.
Yeah. Michael Cohen, find his work with The Athletic, Michael_Cohen13. We will talk to you next week, Michael. Have a good week.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.